Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke, from chapter 6, where we will read verses 27 through 38. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1470. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 6:27. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners, receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Dave gave me permission to share a recent experience. He had gone Thursday a week ago for his usual cancer checkup, and everything was fine, and he planned to stop at a craft store, but he missed the turn. He decided to drive to Hobby Lobby in Trustful for his paint. The store had been recommended and was new to him, and as he wandered around, he found what he needed, plus a few things, you know, that he didn't know that he needed. Been a busy but productive morning, so feeling pretty good as he was driving toward home on Highway 11. Then it comes. His vehicle has an uneven, bumpy roll. There's a sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach. He pulls into the circle drive of the Country White Church, the First Presbyterian Church of Trustful. He lowers his head and sighs, "Lord, what am I going to do now?" He gets out and confirms his thoughts. He has a flat tire on his custom van. As he's looking, several people driving by also confirm, "You've got a flat." The spare tire is on the underneath of the car that's hard to get to. Plus, he's not even sure that he has a jack or that he could change the tire if he did. A lady pulls in. She has her young teenage daughter with her, and she asks, "Do you need some help?" Dave nods, "I do." She begins to ask him about roadside services that he might have, such as AAA. He does, and he gets out his car. So she does the calling, and then with his assistance, answers the numerous required questions. The service will send assistance, but it'll be about 40 minutes. The woman says that she'll take her daughter to lunch, but that she will be back. As Dave is waiting, the pastor of the church stops by. He seems to be in a hurry. Aren't we pastors always? Once he learns that help is on the way and Dave assures him that he'll soon be out of the church parking lot, the pastor leaves. The mechanic shows up in about 5 minutes. He loosens the bolts, lowers the spare tire, and adds air. As he's finishing, the lady and her daughter return. She hands Dave a paper sack with a lunch for him. There is a cash fee for the service. She paid that. The good roadside neighbor didn't want to leave her name or number. What she did leave was an answer to Dave's prayer and a lifting of his day. We are to live our days by lifting the days of others. Now, I love others' pets. I like to read, "Is Your Pet the Greatest?" The stories in the Reader's Digest. The February 2025 issue has Shelby the Great Dane for the Best Pet Pals article. Shirley Zindler writes, "When Shelby landed at our rescue, she was a nearly blind puppy with chronic eye pain. Most of our animals get adopted. But after nursing her through 4 surgeries, we knew that she was ours for good. Shelby has a gift for comforting sick and injured animals. Midnight bottles for newborn kittens go smoother with her silky head nearby, and terrified dogs just seem to have no problem socializing with Shelby. We rescued a huge unadoptable dog, Malachi, who is part wolf and missed human interaction stages as a puppy. He doesn't take comfort from people, but Shelby managed to win him over. Another time we took in a French bulldog puppy, Levi, who wasn't expected to survive. Shelby was fascinated by him. Levi eventually got stronger, but for a while he weighed only 1 pound. So he and the 125-pound Shelby made quite a pair. There's a picture of Shelby with her large paw draped over a small dog that's cuddling underneath the Great Dane's dropping jaw. The caption reads, "Shelby shepherds other animals through Dogwood Animal Rescue." If that's not enough, Shelby has been an infallible source of comfort for her owner through a stressful career as an animal control officer and rescuer. Love the unlovable, do good, pray, be merciful, turn the other cheek, have compassion, condemn not, don't expect anything in return, lend without payback, don't give up, give, forgive. We are to live our days by lifting the days of others. We are to make the day of even our enemies by loving them, praying for them, turning the other cheek, giving them what they ask, being merciful, not condemning our enemies, and not judging. Doing so will lift others up and help them to connect to God. Christians are to live their lives differently. In his book, God's Outrageous Claims, Lee Strobel notes that often when Jesus speaks, he says something that leaves us muttering, "That's outrageous." However, these outrageous claims will change our lives if we will take a chance and try God's wisdom that works. This wisdom comes from God who loves us. God loves us with a love that's deep enough to give his Son to lift us up. Outrageous claim number 1 in his book is, there's freedom in forgiving your enemies. Lee Strobel recounts some of the story of Terry Anderson. Associated Press reporter Terry Anderson was taken captive by radical Muslims on March the 16th, 1985. He was held hostage in Lebanon for nearly 7 years. He was chained to a wall in a filthy, spider-infested cell. He suffered through sickness. He endured mental torture. He longed for his family. He was ground down by the dull ache of continuous boredom. Through it all, he was given one book, the Bible. And as he devoured it in search for words of hope, he came across what appeared to him to be outrageous words. Luke 6:27-38. Jesus said, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you." Even as a Christian, how outlandish that command must have seemed to Anderson, spending 2,455 days in cruel captivity. Love, do good, pray for enemies. On December 4, 1991, Anderson was released. Journalists clustered around him with their questions. What was it like? What are your future plans? One reporter called out the question that gave Anderson pause. Can you forgive your captors? What an easy question to pose in the abstract. Answer in safety of a sanctuary, but what a profound issue to ponder honestly in the grim reality of harsh injustice. Terry Anderson paused. Before the words of his response could come out of his mouth, the Lord's Prayer coursed through his mind, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." The victim of undeserved suffering spoke, "Yes, as a Christian, I am required to forgive, no matter how hard it may be." It is hard. No other spiritual leader ever spoke a clear command for people to express compassion to those who are working against their best interests. Maybe Jesus' command isn't so outlandish after all. Perhaps it's actually a prescription that benefits both those who forgive and those who are forgiven. Doug Wingert wrote in the Upper Room for February the 17th, "When we forgive, we're freed from bitterness and anger. When we are forgiven, we are freed from guilt and shame." Love my enemies. We may think, I don't really have enemies. I hope none of us have ever experienced the suffering that Terry Anderson did. Yet we could have persons to whom we feel anger or hurt, animosity, hatred, dislike, or indifference. Maybe it was someone in our years growing up that hurt us or rejected us or abused us or abandoned us. Maybe it was someone in our adult years who wounded us or ridiculed or oppressed us or betrayed us or caused us pain. Maybe it's someone in our work or our volunteer life who makes our job hard. Maybe they gossip about us or they make us look inadequate. Maybe it's someone or a group of people who are on opposite sides. We think being American or even Christian means one thing, and they think another. We have differing opinions. We may even disagree about the Bible. We differ on translations or interpretations or important verses. With any translation or interpretation, Jesus clearly says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." Jesus chose a word for love that doesn't imply emotion as much as it suggests attitude and action. He's urging us to have a humble, a servant demeanor toward people who are our adversaries, to look for the best of them and offer help if they need it. Jesus is telling us to have a sense of goodwill toward them in spite of their lack of the same toward us, to pray for their welfare and for the well-being of their families. Even though we may continue to compete against them or to disagree with them, we are to do so fairly and respectfully, not maliciously or try to destroy them. We don't have to approve of what they are or what they've done or how they conduct their affairs. We don't even have to like them, but we are to love who they are. They are people who matter to God, just like you and me. Just like us, they are people who have failed, but who are eligible for God's forgiving grace. The Bible said God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus would never ask us to do anything that would work to harm our soul. There are tremendous payoffs for following God's seemingly outrageous claim to forgive. Lee Strobel notes that there are psychological, there are physical, relational, spiritual, and kingdom benefits that accrue when we resolve to forgive our adversaries. The psychological benefit, Proverbs 23:7 says that the Bible says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." So a psychological benefit is healing our mind and our emotions. People who entertain bitter thoughts and exhibit an angry attitude toward their enemies often become bitter and angry people. They don't hold a grudge so much as a grudge holds them in its claws. And then the physical benefit, it neutralizing our life, threatening anger. Scientific studies concluded that bitterness and anger don't just mess with our minds, but also threaten our very lives. Anger can be as harmful to our health as unhealthy habits or an unhealthy diet. On the other hand, forgiveness is good for our health. There's a relational benefit, holding out hope of reconciliation. Think of conflict in our relationship as being the knot in the middle of a rope where we're holding one side and our enemy is holding the other side. If we both continue to pull, we may make the knot so tight that it can never be untied. By simply dropping our end of the rope, the cord, we're loosening the tension and preserving the possibility that the still loose knot might somehow be untangled by the two of us. In the Bible, the estranged brothers, Jacob and Esau. Esau forgives Jacob and they reunite. Saul, the Christian killer, is forgiven and becomes Paul, the Christian evangelist. The one who treats us as an enemy today may become our brother or sister tomorrow. So Jesus says, go ahead and treat them today as our brother and sister. Hatred writes people off. Love holds out hope. And then there's a spiritual benefit. Being forgiven as we forgive others. Jesus said, forgive and you will be forgiven. So our relationship with God can be strained by our refusal to forgive. We cannot experience God's favor flowing freely into our lives and at the same time be stubbornly unforgiving toward others. And then there's a kingdom benefit. Our forgiveness attracts others. Jesus said in Luke 6:32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. So there's nothing particularly commendable about loving those who already care about us. Everybody does that. But when someone offers love to a person who's been an enemy, the world takes notice. People are pointed toward God as being the only source of motivation for this kind of compassion. Bible scholar A.M. Hunter said, to return evil for good, that's the devil's way. To return good for good is man's way. To return good for evil is God's way. As we leave the problems of yesterday, we live in the possibilities of today and we look toward the promises of tomorrow. In living this way, we can lift the days of others. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to live in a way that we help connect people to you through Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.